And today, we have a very interesting topic, to say the least. Rabbi Dr. David Katz is with us of the Touro College of Dental Medicine. He is Associate Dean of Clinical Affairs, Associate Professor of Dental Medicine, and Director of Halachic Dentistry. He's also the author of Keser David, the Halachic Guide to Dentistry, which provides an in-depth analysis of the wide range of laws pertaining to the practice of dentistry. Today, we're speaking with him about a few dental questions related to the upcoming holiday of Pesach, and maybe even some general halachic dental questions as well. Rabbi Dr. David Katz, a pleasure to welcome you to JM in the AM.
Good morning. Good morning.
I've got to start with the following story.
Just let me apologize to everyone. My voice is very raspy.
Well, you told me you left your voice in Albuquerque.
Yes, we are starting a branch of the dental school.
How many dental schools are there under the Touro system?
One.
That's it?
That's right. We're opening a second in Albuquerque,
and
New
the
Mexico.
First one is in the New York area?
Westchester.
Oh, that's the one. Valhalla, right?
That's Valhalla.
So, it's interesting. One to visit both schools, one would have to travel 3,000 miles.
Well, the way it's set up educationally is the first 2 years, both groups are trained preclinically in Hawthorne, in Westchester.
Right.
And then the New Mexico group goes down clinically for the third and fourth year down to Albuquerque, New Mexico.
And, I mean, my curiosity begs the question, why Albuquerque?
So Touro really practices, we try to hold by Kiddush Hashem, and we try to serve the underserved. Wow. And in Albuquerque, believe it or not, is one of the poorest states in the United States. Almost 50%. New Mexico is one of the poorest states in the country, and 50% of the people, almost 50%, are on Medicaid. There's also one of the largest Native American Indian populations there as well. Wow. Now, we subscribe to Touro College of Dental Medicine's Touro mission is to really to make the world a better place along the lines of Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks Hatzal, to heal a fractured world.
Right.
So we really hold by that, and we really, to us, we feel we can deliver quality care in a place where there is no dental school and is tremendously underserved. At the same time, it serves our needs of providing dental training for our students because there's a tremendous number of patients that need care.
So there might be some Touro dental alumni who eventually settle in New Mexico.
Absolutely. In fact, last week we were making inroads with the small Jewish population there. We hope that this will be a springboard for a small Jewish community to grow.
Interesting. Rabbi Dr. David Katz is here. So the story I want to open with is, I think you'll find it only half funny. Until today, before I met you, it was funny. Now it's only half funny because you've revealed to me before this conversation that there really are some serious halachic shilas. Again, we're not suggesting that anyone is going to behave or needs to behave any differently when it comes to the care of their mouth generally and for Pesach, kashrus-wise. We are not suggesting that. We're simply telling everybody that there's some interesting questions that have come up over the centuries and many that apply today. So the story I wanted to start with is that there was a time when a certain kosher pizza shop in the Jewish community many, many, many years ago, this is a story from 30, 40 years ago, was found to have, it was discovered they had non-kosher cheese, whatever. It was a flaw by the mashgiach, and the owner was not as trustworthy as people thought. And so a friend of mine calls me and says the following: I have eaten there so often, I feel like I have to kosher my teeth. Now, until I met you, I thought that was a joke. Today, I realize after a conversation with you off the air, this is not a, it's not a joke. And again, no one actually has to kosher their teeth, but right. It is a serious halachic discussion.
It is. This came up about 20 years ago in the course of my practice, and my wife had overheard some of the conversation, and she jokingly said that when she was a young girl, she was wearing braces.
Right.
And there was a question of what to do for Pesach with the braces.
Right.
So the orthodontist said, her parents, said, take her by the ankles, take her over to the parking lot where they have the hot water and dip her in three times with her mouth open. So,
I call it Caleb.
Yeah. So, no, we don't go to that extreme, but there are some issues, because the issues really go to the core of Issa V'Heter and Yerodea. That's right. The basis from which most rabbis learn for smicha. The issue of vessels absorbing and then giving back out, mavliya and polate.
Right. So pans and pots and knives are very good examples.
Exactly.
Of those,
right? All those things, right. The exact same.
That's why we actually kosher them for Pesach. Right.
Exactly right. So this, unfortunately, the materials that are used in teeth, the filling materials, do absorb taste.
Right. This is aside from whether you think teeth in general.
Correct. The question was, natural teeth as well do absorb, and not that they are somewhat porous.
Right.
So the question is, first, do teeth absorb? And do we treat them separately in a special status because they're natural?
Right.
And then do we treat the fillings that are used, because they're an additive aspect to the fillings, to the teeth?
Right.
Do we treat them differently because they absorb? Do we treat them like kalem or not? Do we treat them as if we have the rules of mikveh, that we allow people to go to the mikveh with fillings?
If one has a filling,
it's not a chatzitza,
right.
Not a makbid.
Right.
Or do we say, no, the rules of ritual immersion of mikveh are totally separate from the rules that have to do with kashrus? So it's a real issue.
Right, and real Torah giants have discussed these issues over the years. And we should just stress, for those who are already stressing out there, we should stress that, again, the common sense, or what seems like the common sense approach for the last many decades is basically what we still suggest. And that is that certainly if one has braces, make sure there's nothing stuck inside them, right? You don't want that to happen. You know, and just like anybody, Erev Pesach is going to brush their teeth properly, right? You change your toothbrush, you brush your teeth properly, you open a new toothpaste, etc. So the basic practice that we have, those are fine guidelines.
Yeah, but there are tiers to what people would perceive as chumras.
Right.
You know, the there are so many multiple layers of halakha that are implied here. The concept of yad soledespo, whether there's anything that's involved,
right,
with the temperature of the food that you're eating, whether the mouth has a category of a klisheni or a klishlishi, whether it has the category of a knife, that would be what we call duchat the sakina,
right,
that you could be mechayel shevis, you could bring back the taste of food when you're eating sharp foods like onions.
Right.
So there, and how the different methods of koshering utensils. So all those things play in hand here. As I mentioned to you before, my personal approach has been the approach of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Zatzal. He believed, because this is an issue not just for Pesach, it's
right,
an issue for basar v'challah,
right,
for
meat
and
dairy. Right.
It's the same problem. If it absorbs, it absorbs for meat and dairy too.
Right.
So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Zatzal had come up with, based on the Rambam and also the Chasam Sofer, he came up with the idea that the saliva, the digestive enzymes of the saliva, break down the food, and after 6 hours they're no longer really in the category of food. They're considered pugum, and then it will be a no Saint Tom Lefkam. There's no issue whatsoever after 6 hours.
Right.
So that is the basis on which really most people hold with fillings. So we don't have to worry about that.
You know what's funny, by the way, and I wonder if this is written anywhere. It is interesting that you just told us this, which is a brilliant observation by the great Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach of blessed memory. And we have a regulation that's been handed down for centuries that we do not eat chametz for many, many hours on Erev Pesach.
That's exactly right.
You like that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that gives us at the minimum 6 hours, in some cases many more hours, but at the minimum 6 hours where our mouths have zero chametz in it.
That's what I usually recommend. I usually recommend, as a matter of fact, if you the morning for sure. And if you want to be machmir, you can go back 24 hours
right,
and
before.
Say, ain't no binyomo. It's not even, it's not within the same day, and you could be machmir.
I wonder if there's anybody who does that.
You never know. There are some groups that do it. They don't allow any hot food, any hot chametz, right. 24 hours before, because right. they don't want a situation of a binyomo situation.
In their mouths,
yeah.
Right. Interesting. Yeah. Rabbi Dr. David Katz is here. So, it's not a joke when we ask about kashering teeth for Pesach. There are actual regulations that have been enforced. But again, the way we clean and take care of our teeth, especially with this observation that we go many, many hours without any chametz in our mouths before we sit down to the Seder, seems to be sufficient. So we're comfortable with all that.
Yeah,
right?
Look, the Rambam, according to the Rambam, the waiting period theoretically between, you know, basar and chalav,
meat and dairy,
you can go ahead if you had the amount of time to say brekas hamazon,
right.
and you brush your teeth and you floss and there was absolutely right. nothing in your mouth, the shitas Rambam right. would probably be you're okay.
Right.
So there are tremendous grades right. of different.
We're so used to the 6 hour yeah. regulation that when we hear about 1 hour or what you just described, it seems crazy to yeah. us, but.
But nevertheless, the Rambam does hold 6 hours because he figures that there's going to be mamasha, so it's going to be leftover material, and it does take 6 hours to break down.
Right.
So we hold by the strict position of the Rambam of 6 hours, and Rashi also by 6 hours. He holds more by digestive breakdown.
Right. All right. It's interesting. I have here a category of removable devices, and I'm sure this will come up tomorrow. It happens every year during our Pesach products program. And I think we have to separate these because the list here has crowns, bridges, braces, and retainers. But crowns and bridges normally are not removed easily from the mouth, correct?
Right. So
the only one that really needs to be different here is the retainer. The retainer goes in and out. The others are quote-unquote permanently temporary in one's mouth.
Right. So we just addressed the approach that you can take regarding right. fillings or crowns, which
right.
is
it's all
either
the same.
Yeah, it's all the same. Right. You avoid it in the morning, 6 hours, or you go back 24 hours, but that's how you would approach it.
Right. And the retainer, I guess,
is a different story.
Well, wouldn't it be sufficient to just brush it with the good
Yes, you can. You right. absolutely can. But because it's removable, there are rabbis who've taken a stricter position.
Boil it?
Of which I don't agree with. I'll tell you why. Yes. Unfortunately, they don't realize the sensitivity of the material.
Right.
Okay.
It can ruin it.
Right. They say do hagala on it because it's removable. You can't remove the fillings from the mouth. You can't do hagala, but you can do hagala on that. But it distorts the material. So therefore, a removable device, really, it's not proper to do that in my opinion. And according to many Orthodox rabbis who understand today's materials.
Right.
So I wouldn't recommend that. I think you can soak it in a denture cleaner.
Right.
Okay. You can let it sit in denture cleaner overnight.
Right. Or brush it well.
Brush it real well. Right. You can have, if you really want to have, like for example, when it comes to Invisalign, you can have a separate set entirely for Pesach. It almost doesn't cost any difference.
Well, doesn't Invisalign call for changing?
Right. So it's interesting.
You should time it for Erev Pesach.
That's exactly
like the new car.
And we used to do that in our office.
That's funny.
And also when you give the Invisalign retainers, you usually give sets of four. Not always, but many times sets of four. So I tell them, you know what? Open a new set for Pesach.
Right.
You know, I take the approach that Rav David Feinstein Satzal, who I really looked up to, was such a gadol ador, used to tell me. He said, David, if there's a way that you can get by in a different way, then just do it. Why challenge if you don't have to? So have an extra retainer.
Right.
Use the extra retainer.
Again, tomorrow this will come up, but our phrase every year when it comes to Pesach is, hey, after all, it's Pesach. You know, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, do you need a hechsher on bottled water? No, but after all, it's Pesach. You know, that whole thing. Anyway, so now speaking of hechsher, dental floss is used by people with and without these retainers and different things. I mean, everybody, I hope, uses dental floss, right? You recommend everybody use dental floss.
Yes, yes.
So dental floss comes in, I guess, what we would call original non-flavored, and then it has different flavors. How do we treat flavored dental floss on Pesach?
So Mikara Din, from a strict position of law, it was not meant to be eaten.
Right.
So there's no issue. It's low Rayula Kelev. It's not something that you'd be worthy of giving to a dog or giving to, although there's a very funny story about a dog in a second. I'll tell you about it. And it's not meant for human consumption. So Mikara Din is not a problem. But again, I'll give you the answer that Rav David had given me, is that since we have wax floss without flavor,
right.
use the wax floss. Right. That's exactly what he says. Just use the wax floss. Exactly like I'm describing to you. This use of racism.
If all we had was the flavored,
exactly, then you can use it. Right. But you have wax floss right. without flavor. Use that, and then there's no issue whatsoever. Rav Yoshev was reported to have ruled that there's no issue with using wax floss on Pesach also. So.
For those who wear dentures, you described, I can't relate to this personally, but it sounds from what you told us that there are different solutions one can clean those dentures in. What do they do on Pesach itself? Are any of those tablets or solutions, any of those have any type of kashrus problems or questions when it comes to cleaning dentures?
So the Mikaradin, again, all those agents are cleaning agents. They're not meant for eating.
Right, no one swallowed
them. And if anything, they would give a bad taste, not a good taste. There would be no St. Tom Lefgam,
right.
If anything. So from Mikaradin, it's not an issue at all. When you go through a list of the ingredients, like dilute sodium hypochlorite, which is like, that's bleach, or you have sodium bicarbonate, which is baking soda, those things are not edible issues. So it's not a problem whatsoever. The Scroll K Vod Hakashrus of Denver listed Effident and Polydent Denture Cleanser as being acceptable for Pesach.
So again,
use also.
If you're going to buy one, there are those that have a Hechsher on it, so you may as well buy it. Rabbi Dr. David Katz is here. All right, we're talking about some of the dental issues when it comes to Pesach. Now, the last time we spoke, it sounded like if someone needs some type of emergency procedure done on Pesach. I don't know. Is it different than a regular Shabbos or Yontif?
Same thing. On the first days of Yontif, same thing as Shabbos.
The same way you would treat it.
You go about ascertaining what the problem is according to all, until you've determined exactly what the problem is. Once you've determined the problem, then you can categorize it in all the different categories that we have of Suffolk, Pikuach, Nefesh, you know, Fechola. Those are the categories that you put it into.
I mean, you told us last time that there are certain oral infections that can be very, very dangerous.
There are. You can spread to the brain. It can go to the heart. You have bacterial endocarditis. That usually comes from lower teeth. You can have what's called cavernous sinus thrombosis, which is an infection of the brain that comes from the upper molars, upper teeth. So we don't take those things for granted. And again, as I mentioned last time, the level of what we call pikuach nefesh, risk to a life, is at a much lower level halachically than when we say medically.
Right.
Medically, we say, we'll treat it with antibiotics. It's not a problem. It can wait. But halachically, if there's any chance that bacteria goes into the blood system, causes infection, that's already in the Cheskas Suffolk Pikuach Nefesh.
What's the most common symptom? Is it just extreme pain? Like, how do people wake up in the morning? How do we know that there might be a possibility that it's a serious situation?
You don't know until you get the patient in. When the patient comes in.
No, but I'm saying they'd come in because of extreme pain?
Or Dr. Siegel, I broke my tooth and it's very, very sharp. It's something that doesn't feel right over there. You have the patient come in, you take a look on the x-ray. It's just a broken tooth. You say, Mrs. Jones, come in on Monday. We'll take care of it. It's a break, but I don't have my whole staff. This is better off taken care of in 2 days. If you take a look on the x-ray and you see clinically that there's an exposure of the pulpal tissue where there's nerve and blood tissue exposed, that's already a different story. Then you have to take action.
Well, the greatest revelation, again, we spoke about it last time, is that we're unfortunately very familiar. We've seen it in our community so many times with real medical emergency situations on Shabbos and Yontif. What I never really considered was that in the dental arena, there could be some serious pikuach nefesh situations at Shabbos and Yontif.
Yep.
That's the bottom line. Anything else that, is that it? Like, is that generally
the greatest fear
that an infection will, that's the item that's got to be taken care of immediately at Shabbos or Yontif?
That, or for example, if a tooth, you'll find this a common problem with children. A tooth gets knocked out on Shabbos.
Right.
So it tends to be a bit of a machlokas what to do. But a Mikaradin, again, according to most poskim, not all poskim, most poskim would say you can go ahead and see the dentist on Shabbos and have the tooth put back.
Right.
other dentists, other rabbis have held that you wait the few hours. But again, l'aniestati, in my humble opinion, they don't really fully understand the ramifications of waiting those few hours.
Right.
Those waiting a few hours, every minute counts for the body to reintegrate
sort of
that
like
tooth.
Sort of like a broken arm on Shabbos.
That's, yeah, so it's a little different. God forbid if something got amputated,
right.
Something got, sorry, the attachment has to take place as soon as possible.
Right.
The longer you wait, the worse the prognosis for the attachment. Same thing for the avulsed tooth. So the sooner you get it in, the better. And that's in the category we call sakanas aver. There's a big machlokas, whether loss of a tooth on Shabbos is in the category of sakanas aver.
Right.
According to Rabbi David Feinstein.
Where a limb would be in
or a
danger.
Limb is in danger.
Right.
According to Rabbi David Feinstein and others, it is, because long term, if you lose that tooth, your jaw will not function as well. Any substitute is still not as good as the natural.
Wow. What a smart decision. Not that he needs my endorsement, but you know what I mean? Like, it just makes so much sense. How does halacha treat braces situations on Shabbat? Wires get cut, or now the kid is being disturbed on the side of his mouth because something's just not right. Is that something we can worry about Shabbos and Yom Tov, or we have to just tell him to wait it out?
Generally speaking, we wait that out.
That's it. Even if they're very uncomfortable, or if they're being cut by it or anything like that.
Yeah.
Not much you could do.
Not really.
And it's common, right?
It's not uncommon at all.
These things happen.
Yeah. If it's really jabbing to the point where it's wounding the person, again, that's already a different situation.
Right.
Because now bleeding. You're creating a wound and right.
Side of the mouth bleeding.
Right. If it's just
like
annoying,
that,
it's that.
I'm thinking back 45 years now.
Yeah.
And today, as I remember the weekly visits to the orthodontist that were certainly unwelcome, today, what percentage of kids are getting braces? Is it mostly this Invisalign and other things, or are there
Invisalign
still a lot that are getting
braces?
Invisalign
is much more
braces?
Common for adults. The traditional braces is still
the 12,
predominant.
So the 13-year-olds? I mean, from bar mitzvah, we're going straight to braces still?
Yeah, I'll tell you why.
They're still doing
you can't rely upon the responsibility of a teenager to wear the Invisalign aligners. And the problem is it won't work unless you're wearing those aligners all the time, right?
So there's plenty of braces still.
Still plenty of braces.
Is it made out of anything different? Like, is it very different than 30 years ago or not?
Yeah, there are different techniques, different materials, but it's still the underlying principles. Still metal.
Wow.
Yeah.
No sympathy for the new generation, huh?
Nope.
What can I tell you? And what about the flavors of toothpaste that they use in the dental offices? I mean, can we do something about that?
But you should know the flavor of toothpaste is an issue with Pesach.
Well, first of all, there are some kosher Pesach toothpaste.
Exactly.
Like real brands that are kosher. But we in our area of the community, and I'm saying the general community, not a geographic area, we have basically settled with, if you have a new tube of brand name toothpaste, you're basically okay. Would you say even
yes, Mikara again, Mikara Din,
right.
It's okay. As Rab David, I keep going back to him, he answered so many of my questions. Mikara Din, Rab David, and also Rab Herschel Shachta says the same thing, that Mikara Din, there's no issue. Okay, this is not food.
Right.
Okay.
But they also might say use the regular paste instead of the fancy flavor.
Right. If you have a choice, then it doesn't. And Rab David Zatzal was very gifted. If it's not a tircha and it doesn't cost so much more, then just go the simpler route.
After all, Rabbi Dr. Katz, it's Pesach.
That's right.
I mean, come on, unbelievable. And I guess the same thing would go with the mouthwash as well.
Yep.
If you're, you know, same go, thing. Go for the stuff that's really kosher Pesach.
Yeah, Listerine has one that's totally free of alcohol.
Right.
So if it's totally free of alcohol, you have something that works, just use it.
Right, good point. And of course, no one, I hope, is swallowing it. So, you know.
That goes into the category of Achshavei. That's a very interesting law, Achshavei. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it.
I'm not.
Achshavei is a law that, let's say there is some burnt bread, totally charred, okay? And for every person,
that's the kind of matzah I hope for, the burnt one.
No, this is really burnt. This is really like charcoal, right? And you wouldn't consider it lower elokelev. It's not even worthy of giving to a dog. Okay. So from that, from Ikara, then it's not really chametz anymore. Right. But let's say you have that one person, the one in a million,
that loves
who
it.
Loves it and eats it, and to him it's food. So for him, achshavei, for him, it's considered a food,
so
and for
forbid,
him, he it's chametz to him.
So if God forbid someone drinks mouthwash, they have a halachic shiloh.
Exactly. So we consider toothpaste as a low royal kelim. Right. So the famous story that was passed down to me, I don't want to mention names, it was passed down to me of a rav who told his students that toothpaste is really in the category of low royal kelim, right. And you don't have to worry, Mikara din. Right. This is years and years ago. So one of the sharp students goes ahead.
Found the dog.
He goes to a dog and he squeezes it, and the dog starts to lip it. Look. So the Talmud goes back to the Rav and says, Rebbe, my dog, he was eating the toothpaste. It's, you're saying it's lower a little caliph. So the Rebbe looked and says, we have a very stupid dog.
I thought he was going to say that, yeah, he ate it, but it's still not right.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Still should be eating it, you know?
Yeah.
I like that. By the way, you'll appreciate this. You know, a lot of people, starting Monday night, a lot of people find that matzah doesn't always agree with them. You know, matzah's not the same as eating soft bread, right? I don't have to go into detail, but there are people who have trouble digesting the matzah. Ironically, you'll appreciate this because of your area of expertise, and I know this from experience because someone gave this to me as a tip many, many years ago. If you chew that matzah very, very well, right? You're eating that shear of matzah and motzi matzah. It's a big portion. But if you chew it, if you use your teeth to your advantage and chew it very, very well, as our parents used to remind us, chew your food well, your stomach, or anyone's stomach, I should say, will have a much easier time during the holidays. So amazing. Take advantage of the beautiful gift that God gave us, these incredible appliances that we call our teeth. It's the first stage of digestion, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Since you're already speaking about that, I will tell you that do small bites.
Right.
Because oftentimes,
that's
the big bites,
right?
When you take the big bites, first of all, carpeting, it's hard. You swallow it, you're going to hurt yourself. And also, the bigger bites, I can't tell you how many people break teeth over Yontif on Chol HaMoed, on the hard matzah. I can't tell you. It's just a remarkable thing. They start munching. A little at a time.
I assume there's a weakness.
It's a weakness in the tooth, they weren't aware of it before because they weren't chewing anything very hard of substance.
Wow. Well, Dr. Katz, I will tell you, I knew there'd be some interesting topics today, but boy, you bring a lot to the table. And get ready, everybody, because we'll be at the Seder table Monday night, but not before you make sure to clean your teeth properly and the braces and the retainers and everything else that you have to prepare in order to make sure to observe our holiday properly. And I will say Chag Kasher V'Sameach to you.
You too.
And congratulations on this. It seems Torah University is making a tremendous effort in so many areas to, and not just expand geographically, as you described, but really to provide every type of degree and service to the community, which is amazing.
Well, Dr. Kadish deserves a tremendous amount of credit, and Rabbi Krupka, and as I said, the amount of Kiddush Hashem, the forethought that's involved in doing this, always with a Jewish flavor, even in Albuquerque, even in Nevada, with a Jewish flavor, is such a Kiddush Hashem.
Without a majority of Jewish students.
The overwhelming majority are not Jewish, but it still has the Jewish flavor. Kosher food, Jewish sayings, sayings from Pirkei Avos. It's a beautiful thing.
Amazing. Dr. David Katz, Rabbi Dr. David Katz, Touro College of Dental Medicine, Associate Dean of Clinical Affairs, Associate Professor of Dental Medicine, and Director of Halachic Dentistry. His sefer is entitled Kesser David, and again, I thank you very much. More coming up. You're listening to JM in the AM.